shine, little Uber, liver, liver, leap.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite buddies, my favorite worms. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening, worms.
Good evening out there.
Hi, everybody.
I hope it's cooling down.
Yeah, I do too. It is.
We can keep the hope alive.
Well, it's even cloudy for a change.
It is, yes. There's some hope right there, and that feels good, just getting out the sun. Because it is wearing on everybody when you're out there working.
Yeah, it's wearing me out.
Ooh,
look at my skin. It's worn out.
Long sleeves and a big hat. That's how I deal with it.
There you go.
And lots of water.
There you go. Long sleeve, big hat guy.
Yeah.
970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. Those are the numbers because it's live. Jeff's in there ready to send your call Lance and Lulu's way. Worm at KVNF.org for an email. So I'll just go from weather to watering. Because, we have to keep up with watering, but then there's some plants that you want to stop watering or you're on your last.
Well, I've stopped watering the popcorn. Obviously, I've stopped watering the dry beans, except for those fall-planted pintos, and I might water them one more time next weekend. They're doing really good, and they're blooming, and they're making beans, but if I keep watering them, they'll never ripen the beans that are there.
Right. They'll just keep growing.
Yeah. They're indeterminate.
Bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And if you're having a struggle getting your tomatoes to ripen, you can cut the water back.
But I'm not struggling for mine to ripen.
Mine are doing good. Best cropping.
Mine are taking over the universe.
Really?
I mean, there's parts I can't even hardly get in there to pick them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ripening nice.
Oh, the sun golds, are off the charts.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, I just
I was going to bring some in, but I was dealing with other
stuff. All kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the other thing is, boy, we've got more munchies here, the apricots and then raspberries, and there's just so much to pick right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's way too much. And it's all coming at the same time.
It is.
You know, I looked out there, my
here
elderberries are getting ripe and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was talking to a guy at the Hotchkiss Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
And he stopped watering his wine grapes over 3 weeks ago just to get them to ripen because they didn't bud out till June.
You know, I was thinking that,
And so if you want your grapes, to ripen up in a timely manner, then you might think of stop watering those guys too.
Right. Who knows when the first
frost
will
and then,
fall.
Yeah, and then when it's cold and the winter's coming along, don't let them go into winter dry. Water them then. If you have tap water, if you have irrigation water, whatever you're using. And if you don't,
you know.
Well, that's the problem. Therein lies the problem. I mean, for me, because they'll turn my irrigation water off and, you know, it would take a lot to... Well, I guess I could just do the grapes or whatever. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, I'm just letting them come on, and they are outrageous.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, outrageous. And they're you know, the ripening is sporadic. They're not all ripe at once.
No.
You know, but that's okay. I'm just going to wait it out.
Yeah, if you have, in your big trellis, it's going to be here and there.
Oh, man.
I had the, on a...
Well,
it's willow branches.
Yeah.
But you come up, the cane comes up, and then you got the first horizontal things. That's where it's going to ripen first. Anything above that or farther out is going to ripen later.
Sure.
Yeah. So all of mine are up in the boonie, up in the top. They're on the sides. Yeah. They're over here. They're over there. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Well, kind of like picking fruit from the top, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing. It's not...
Yeah.
You're going to get that stuff like those peaches right up there that are red
you
and
know,
juicy
I mean,
right now.
Right? And part of it is a great thing because then you don't have to do it all at once.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've mentioned the commercial orchards want it all ripe right now and they pick the tree once. in the backyard garden, you can pick the tree for 3 weeks.
There you go.
And it lessens the workload.
It lessens the workload. Yes. It spreads it out. I'm all about that.
Yeah, it does. And you just find yourself just enjoying it more, I think.
Yeah. You know? Now, I still have the white apricot, and I have one other apricot.
Right here on the table.
And now I'm just picking from the ground.
Right, that's the other thing.
It's just going through there, maybe a 4-foot stepladder.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know it's ready, too.
Yeah,
and that's what I do with Little Mama. That's totally her scene. I don't even bother getting up there. I just let them fall.
Mm-hmm.
Big Mama is a different story. You want to try and pick them. And that's, oh, my God, that's a hassle. But
that's a big mama.
Yeah. But.
You got that big ladder.
Got your big ladder for your big tree. Yeah. And in the meantime, and then the pears are ready. Most of the pears are ready.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been able to pick those because I'm going to be gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you have neighbors or friends that can help you out.
Yeah. Or help themselves, whichever. Yeah.
I have a pear tree. My pears didn't produce that much this year for whatever reasons. And looking up at the top of one of those is one of those big wasp nests, black and white guys that you don't want to get near their nest. I mean, they're not bothering me mowing or that kind of stuff, but you don't want to climb up to...
No.
Yeah.
It's the big paper wasp.
Yes, the big guy.
Near west. Yeah. Nest that looks like a pear. It kind of looks like a pear.
Right.
An upside down pear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The kind you want to just take a baseball bat to.
Oh, no.
You go right ahead.
No. You don't even want to rattle their cage.
I said one who. Okay, good. Rich in Paonia has a Tamacha question. Good evening, Rich.
God, and I have the book right here. Fire away, boss.
Good evening. This is like Eddie Arnold on Green Acres. I have to climb up on a telephone pole. Okay, so disclaimer, we're working with raised beds.
Uh-huh.
New year, new beds, new soil, but good soil. Planted the tomatoes, they were flourishing. Actually, everything else was suffering, but the tomatoes were flourishing. They were doing great. And then in last week, just like all of a sudden, all the leaves turn yellow. We do have a shade cloth over the garden, and we know about watering, and anyway, we don't know. We're just going to end up pulling all the tomatoes off there, but what are your thoughts? Virus?
Yeah, it's a virus, most likely.
And it's, you know what? I just went and looked at a bunch of tomato for a friend, and it's the same story, right? Raised beds, new soil, blah, 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 cruising along. Okay, I have a couple of ideas.
Okay.
One idea was that the soil in the beds was so loose that in the late afternoon, even though you're watering carefully and all of that, in the late afternoon, after the plants have wilted, their little roots aren't able to take back in enough water fast enough because there's so much air in the soil
because it's so loose. It's almost like potting soil.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Okay. And so the leaves get stressed and they don't like it and they turn yellow and they could come off.
Are the plants done?
No.
If that's the case, no, it's just the leaf drop, and I would just leave the tomatoes and let them ripen as they do. It's going to be much more slowly.
Trim the leaves?
Trim the leaves, you know what? Get some soluble kelp and spray the plant in the early morning and spray the, I think it's a teaspoon to a gallon of water, and spray those plants. And that's because you do it in the early morning or late in the evening because the cells that absorb that are open only in the cool of the day. And it helps with stress.
Yeah. One more question. I kind of heard a pause when I said raised bed. Did I hear a pause when I said raised bed? That they were raised beds?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
I think they do present a different problem.
Another full disclaimer. I bought these from a particular guy you might know. But anyway, I was thinking of, because they're kind of steel, a silver steel on the outside. They're very pretty. But so I shaded them on the west side.
Good cloth.
Good thinking.
Another thing I was thinking of, I was thinking about going down to the lumber yard, buying some rough cut lumber, and pushing that lumber down between the soil and the steel on the inside of the bed to kind of insulate the heat. Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
Mm. It might work. The shade is what you need. I was at somebody's place, and they used an old water trough, a round water trough, and they were watering it, and I says, do you see what the problem is here? Put your hand on that metal.
Yeah.
And it was at least 110.
Mm-hmm. It was hot.
Exactly.
It was very hot.
And that's,
to keep it out of the sun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I might not put, you're talking about just getting some slab lumber and putting it in between.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I might not
do that
because of the terpenes in the...
In the slab wood.
In the slab wood.
Yeah, because that's pine.
Because it's pine.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
good point.
Yeah. But anything else you want to do, you could put hay bales on.
Styrofoam. No, I'm just kidding.
No. No, you could.
That was a joke.
You could put hay bales or something on on the sides.
Paint it white.
Paint it white.
But the density of the soil overall may be the biggest culprit.
Yeah. Now, I have
I
have a friend in Gunnison that's planted his entire garden in water troughs. Above ground, and it's working beautiful because it is warm.
They're 20
degrees colder than us. It works great up there, but it's not working so well down here.
Yeah, now that we're living in Grand Junction.
All
right.
And you can get clever with things like that too. I mean, you can insulate with old bedspreads, or go to the thrift store and whatever. All you got to do is make a little barrier between that metal and the sun.
Yeah.
And so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we insulated the cabin with old wool sweaters, so I think.
Oh, wow.
Great.
Perfect.
Great.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Rich. Great.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, tomatoes, at this time of year, I don't know if I'd call fungus at this time of year.
No, that's a good call, what you did there. Yeah, because I've heard, it's so late, and I have stuff that, if you really had a mildew or virus, that would have hit it a month ago.
It would have trashed your stuff already.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So just keep whacking. Don't worry about it. Just, if that plant looks ugly, just cut the leaves off. Don't put them in your compost pile. Put them in, burn them or something, because they could be fungicided, or not fungicided, but with fungus.
Mm-hmm.
So just cut them off, and your tomatoes will still ripen.
Yeah.
I mean, push come to shove, if we were going to have a frost tomorrow night, you'd yank those plants up by the roots and turn them upside down in your basement and wait for them to come
anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
And usually by the time your fruit ripens on a tomato plant, it's looking pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've
trimmed it up and it's looking like a bonsai bone.
Yeah, mine sure is looking like that. and the sun golds have taken over the world.
I like that.
Yeah, and the cucumbers were growing down in front of the sun golds, so now the cucumbers have grown up and they're in the sun golds. It's... The elderberries are in the pear
tree. She's going to get lost in the jungle.
It's crazy.
That little striped sock, we'll see it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're
sticking
just
out.
Help me.
All right. Somebody's going to save us. 527-4868-866 KVNF now. I'll check our high-tech email.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Check it out.
But you're harvesting carrots, and you had some interesting stuff going on with the carrots, Lance. Give us a report, because you've got
I have 3.5 beds of carrots left.
That's quite a bit in your world, three and a half beds.
Yeah, 3.5 beds of carrots. And they were going really fast, and now it's slowed down a little bit, which is just fine.
Yeah.
But I was harvesting the carrot seeds, and I noticed that they were full of downy mildew. The plants, the seeds,
what?
The whole thing. I've never seen this before in my life. Not in the carrot seeds. I've seen downy mildew on squash or melons or something like that, but not on carrot seeds. The carrot seeds were infected, turning white. And then, so I actually pulled the whole patch out and threw it in.
Wow.
Wow. So that was your carrot for seed. And you planted those same seeds down at the research station.
I had enough. We wanted to plant on the seed trials down there. I had enough extra rumba carrots to plant down there, and they're doing great.
Yeah, yeah. So just difference in location.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The whole thing just shot. I wasn't even going to take a chance. It's all gone.
I'm wow. so surprised. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Because it's not common, or why are you shocked?
I just can't imagine.
There it was, and yeah. And parsley that's in the same family is 10 feet away and perfectly okay.
Wow.
That's because they all have a different downy mildew.
Oh, okay.
Every time downy mildew finds a host plant, the conditions for the mildew on that plant are so specific that if you took spores and from one plant and spores from another, a different species altogether, uh-huh. like you're saying, you know, your carrots are all, and you went to the next, the spores would be different.
Mm-hmm.
It has a different composition.
Well,
based on its host. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's not likely to spread mm-hmm. from, for instance, when my, what gets it so bad? Oh, the Hesperus, which is a mustard mm-hmm. green, gets it really bad.
Peas will get it too.
Yeah. But if you took the spores from the Hesperus and the spores from the peas, it would be different.
Okay. Mm,
if gotcha. You were that kind of person with a chemical degree and all that.
Yeah.
All right, it's Dave from Paonia on the phone. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Great. What's going on?
Well, we have a couple broccoli plants that we've been picking broccoli off of, but one of them has a lot of aphids on it, and they're down near the end of their production. I just wonder if I should pull them up, or if I should just pull one up, or if I should do something about the aphids. So that's what my question is.
Oh. Yeah, I would just pull the one. The other one's still going.
Yeah, they're not as, unfortunately, the one with the aphids is producing the most.
real simple, just spray some neem oil.
Okay.
Yeah, or high pressure
hoses.
Hose, you know, your hose on that fine spray and just get in all the crevices and, you know.
So that doesn't knock them down into the soil and they come back up again?
Yeah, maybe, but they don't crawl that well.
They're not they're not that rambunctious. And
great. And hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
All right, good luck.
Talk to you later.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
Bye, Dave.
I love seeing healthy broccoli in a garden. It's just one of the most beautiful.
Yeah, it is a pretty plant.
Mm-hmm. It is, you know, and I was up at Phil and Willie's the other day, and their broccoli is huge and gorgeous and beautiful, but again, not forming real tight heads.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think they're too close together. I think there's something really fundamentally.
They need some space. Well, Finocchio, bulb fennel, if you plant it real close, goes straight up. But if you give it 6 to 8 inches, they get big
those
bulbs.
Big the big bulbs, yeah. Right? So, same kind
so
of thing.
Could be that. You know, you never know. It's always something, though.
It's always something, and it could be different right around the corner.
Yeah, it could be.
527-4868-866 KBNF now. We were going to talk about sunflowers last week because they're really beautiful now, prolific everywhere, and not necessarily great in your garden or.
Well, if they're very thick, you know, they will stunt the growth of just about everything around them.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so.
But if you just have one or two here and there because you can't stand how gorgeous they are. And these are, and even by the sides of the road, they are lusher and bigger than I've seen them in a long time.
Yeah, it's a great year for them.
Because there's been enough water. And in my garden, I have a sunflower tree.
Okay.
I swear to God, you could climb it.
Sunflower tree. Yeah.
It's just I've had it. I got it. It has to be tied up all over the place. Yeah. But they're so beautiful. And these are native, by the way. These are native Colorado sunflowers.
Okay.
But when you feed them and water them and give them compost and, you know, boy.
They have a good time.
They have a huge
if you want, time. If you have some property and you want sunflowers, all you got to do is go disturb that soil.
Right.
And the sunflower seeds there. And if you water a little bit, they'll go. I have Tarahumara White. They got about 12 feet tall this year. I plant them in the corn, and now their heads are all hanging over, and they're right at the top of the corn is where they're at. And in the next few weeks, it's really fun to watch the birds.
That's what I like.
No kidding.
And the jays actually hang upside down.
Yeah, that's what I like.
You know, it's really pretty funny.
The birds trying to get in, get at the seeds, and they're going through all these acrobatics trying to get in there.
And they're fighting with the, chipmunks.
Oh, with the chipmunks, who won't take no for an answer.
Well, my kitties take care of that problem, so I don't have that problem.
There you go. Hey, it's Yose on the line from Paonia. Good evening,
Hello.
Yose.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Lulu.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm so very well.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I have something I want to share with you guys about industrial hemp in the Norfolk Valley. There is a disease spreading of a virus called the beet curly top virus.
Oh, I've heard of this, yes.
Yes, I just I've been seeing it for 3 years now. But this year, there's a big migration of leafhoppers, which is its vector, and it's spreading out the disease from New Mexico here. And,
Wow.
It's a real catastrophe, and it's all over Delta County.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I've heard of that here and there, and it's the curly leaf beet hopper, leaf beater?
No, the leaf hoppers.
Are from the
big curly top virus.
Yeah, curly top virus.
They're spreading the virus.
Yeah, and they came from all the sugar beet fields.
Oh, is that right?
That's where it got started here.
And as well as in Mexico?
He said New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
So, is there anything that you can do to?
Hey, Jer, are you listening?
you need to remove the plant infected.
Wow,
that's the best thing. An infected plant will not heal itself.
Okay,
so you got to be pretty diligent.
It sounds like I pulled out 15-20 plants at the research station, and it was tomatoes that had it.
Oh, yeah. Curly top, same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's
similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
can I share with you how we made this discovery?
Yeah,
please.
So we blotted the DNA to an FDA card and was sent to sequencing in the Israeli Genome Center. And then we got a read. It was a research team, an Israeli-American research team.
Wow.
And we got 31 contigs and... After the assembly, we figured out it's the beet curly top virus. It had 96% similarity.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And then it was verified in Colorado State University. And it's going to be published in soon, I hope.
Okay.
It was already...
So
well, that's
if you, so
great,
if you can
too.
Keep your leaf hoppers out of your garden...
Yeah, the leafhopper, the sea anemone's leafhopper.
Yeah, you got to. That's where the culprit is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to learn how to get that out of there.
Wow, and that's not easy. Trust me.
No.
But and the thing is that it attacks perennials also, and because there was, like you said, an extensive sugar beet cultivation here in the county, then the virus is really. Mm. It settled in a few perennials, so it keeps on coming back here more than other regions.
Wow, interesting. Okay. That's amazing that you were able to identify it that way.
Yes.
I mean, really.
This is good to know. I don't know anything, so that's why I have no comments.
Right, it's depressing.
When you know what
though.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's a fungus like that or a bacteria. Is it a fungus or a bacteria?
No, it's a virus.
It's a virus.
A single-strand DNA virus, and it's the good thing is that it is not transmittable through seeds, and it is not also transmittable through mechanical rubbing between plants. So densely packed plants, only the one where the leafhopper actually inoculated the plant, that's where you're going to see an infection. It's not going to spread by itself like other viruses.
Sure.
Because it's a DNA virus.
Okay.
A DNA virus. Wow.
Wow.
All right, Yost, thanks for the update on that. And
thanks for the education.
The education, for sure.
Have a good one.
Hopefully
people can...
thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Because it's amazing the amount of hemp that you see just driving on the highway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's tons of it.
Tons of it. And you know it's all over the counties. I mean, it's all the way down to Montrose. So, Jer is on the line to join the conversation about curly top virus. Hi, Jer.
Hi,
Jer.
I stepped away for a second. Stacy said, you wanted me to call in. I guess you guys are talking about the curly top virus?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people are worse than others. And, you know, like any virus, it's not curable. But it is spread by different vectors. A lot of people think this one was a leafhopper. But, you know, thrips and aphids are certainly vectors. And so, but, you know, what I would tell people, too, because we got a little bit on our hemp, and it came and went. And it only affected a couple plants. And really, but we have a really healthy, really great scene in our hemp field. And really, I explain it to people like this. Like, you're getting attacked by viruses all the time. Mm-hmm. And only your immune system keeps you from succumbing to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same with the plants. So if you can get the plants' health up, you can avoid getting the virus altogether.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, we've talked about that before, too. Yeah. You know, the plants, when they're not healthy, they give off...
They're susceptible. Yeah.
They're more susceptible, yeah.
Yeah, they certainly are. To the bugs, even, too, you know. So another thing you can do to keep the bugs off them is get your Brix level really high, because bugs can't process complex carbs.
Oh.
And if you can get your Brix level really high in the plant, they won't even really see your plants or attack your plants.
Yeah.
They'll move on to something else.
Jer, just explain what Brix are.
Yeah.
Brix is your sugar level in the plant. That's your complex carbohydrate level in the plant. And it aids in photosynthesis and whatnot. You know, in a fruit situation, what we have is the Brix is in the fruit during the night, but out in the leaf during the day doing photosynthesis. And that's why you always want to pick your sweet fruits in the morning, because the sugar will be back in the fruit.
Good to know.
So,
pick those Brix.
And on another note, I heard Rich earlier talking about his tomatoes, and he probably just needs CalMag is what he needs.
Yeah.
CalMag.
He needs some CalMag if he's getting some yellowing. Tomatoes are really heavy feeders, and so you got to treat them. If they get through the season and they look like they're fittering out, they need CalMag more than likely. So.
Mm-hmm. And we're saying CalMag.
Right.
Not
calcium. Yeah, calcium magnesium.
Calcium and magnesium.
Yeah. not CalMag.
More fruits.
God, I love it.
Thanks, Jer.
Calcium magnesium supplement, you know. And you'll find that on almost all tomatoes right now, unless you've just got a really rich thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The advice that I gave to my friend who has the tomatoes in the raised bed was, you know what, put yourself a layer of manure on top of these beds, and then maybe even seed it with some red wigglies or brown wigglies, and put yourself some, if you can find it, some good alfalfa on top, and just let it sit over the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, that's a good thing to do. And then you know, you're going to grow tomatoes there, some bone meal, maybe some gypsum for calcium and some magnesium sulfate for the magnesium.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember when blood meal was real popular, bone meal and blood meal?
Mm-hmm.
You never hear about it anymore.
No, it's still there.
Ah,
blood meal.
We do a lot of bone meal sales and fish bone meal sales.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm.
Those are still pretty that's a pretty hard FOS source to beat, really.
Yeah.
Good on you.
All right, well, Chair. Thanks for dialing in and sharing your expertise with us. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Thank
for
you.
Sure.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Yeah. Bye.
All right.
So just more confirmation on the on the story.
Yep.
There you have it.
Lots of great information tonight. Rich and his tomatoes. We talked about broccoli with Dave and Yoaz and his industrious. Oh, Yoaz.
Yeah,
sorry for the mispronunciation
That's
there.
Right.
And then Jer dialing it in.
Yeah.
Seed class happening this Thursday. Happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wednesday, September 4th, 9 o'clock up at the research stations where you're starting out.
Brassicas,
which would be beautiful, beautiful broccoli.
Broccoli.
Yay.
Broccoli.
But, you know, it's rutabagas, it's
mustards.
What's really interesting, I was reading the thing, this is just a little side, is that you have red Russian kale and you have Siberian kale. They're not the brassica of the kales. They're actually related to rutabagas. They're in a whole nother family.
No kidding.
So you can actually grow a red Russian or a Siberian kale, one of those, and have regular kale, and they won't cross.
Really?
Yeah, totally different families.
Story is more and more.
It's just something I saw there. So
yeah, interesting.
Unbelievable.
All right, so join in on that, and we'll be back next Tuesday for more of As the Worm Turns. It's Lady J coming up with One Woman's Perspective. Next, thanks for listening to KVNF.
All right, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
As I'm yawning.
Which you can make both slow and fast. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.